Well, good evening. What a joy to be here. What a beautiful night. It's cold outside. The snow is falling. Nice blanket of white out there. It's beautiful. I was thinking about, I'm from California, you know, and I've actually been staying in Arizona, and it rains so rarely there that when it rains, people don't come to church on a Sunday evening. So I'm going to go back and report that when it snows here and the roads are a mess, people still come to church. That's pretty cool, right? Okay. I'm glad to be with you. Thanks for a good day. Pastor, I appreciate, again, the opportunity to be here, and thanks for coming again tonight. I'm going to do something a little different tonight. I want us to go to the movies. Can we do that? You think that's a weird thing for a preacher to say? I want to show you a few videos tonight. I want to do that because I want to challenge you a little bit about some ministry opportunities that are available to you as a church, or maybe to some that you know in Southeast Asia. We live in an amazing world. I think when Jesus said to us, the harvest is plentiful, he knew what he was talking about. We do live in a world today, regardless of what we might think, that the hearts of people are still open to the message of the gospel. I found that there are two truths that kind of go together in the Word of God. One is that in the last days, difficult times will come. True? Yeah, I mean, we live in some difficult days. But there is also another truth, another prophecy, where the Lord said that in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Two things are true. In these last days, difficult times will come, and that is true. But also at the same time, the Lord says, I will pour out my Spirit. In other words, listen, the heart of man does not hinder the work of God. God is still getting his work done. And he's getting his work done all around the world. You know, the church is bigger than we think. And I think God is bigger sometimes than we think. Sometimes we see the world around us and we forget that God is working around the world, and he is. So I want to share with you tonight two places that I know of where the Lord is working. My wife and I have been serving the Lord for over 26 years in Southeast Asia. We started in Singapore, built a couple churches there with the help of a wonderful group of nationals. And I think it was about 1998, the Lord burdened my heart to go out and do evangelism. I remember I was pastoring a church in Singapore. I was a senior pastor. I tell people that I have a degree in hotel and restaurant management. I worked until I was about 30 years of age in hotels all around the United States. God called me to preach. I went to Bible college. But in Bible college, I never really got involved because I would go to school, then I'd go to work. I'd come home, I would study, then I would get up, I'd go to school, then I'd go to work. I was never involved in anything. All I did was study. But 2 weeks after I graduated from Bible college, I found myself the senior pastor of a church in Singapore. And at that point, I had never in my life, I'd never pastored, I had never worked as an associate pastor, a youth pastor, I did not do an intern. In fact, I had never to that point even taught a Sunday school class in my life, and I found myself as a senior pastor in a church in Singapore. Only God's grace can allow that to happen. And I realized at that point, you know, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, I didn't have the privileges that a lot of people had, but I knew one thing. I knew that I could pray, I knew that I could share the gospel, and that's all I did. He became a man of prayer, and I just began to share the gospel, and the Lord blessed our church. Soon, our church began to grow, and we became, by the mid-1990s, we were the largest fundamental Baptist church in the country. And although we were a growing church, I was extremely dissatisfied with the ministry. I mean, it just bothered me coming every single Sunday and seeing the same people. And I realized God had called me to be an evangelist and not a pastor. Now, you may not get that, but it's true. I mean, I was just antsy. I was just, although we were growing, I mean, our last Sunday at my church in Singapore, we had 50 unsaved people come to church, and that was pretty cool, right? But even with that, I looked around us, and I knew there was 1 billion people in China, 1 billion people in India, another 1 billion people in between, and I just got deeply burdened to reach the world. And so I did something that, I don't know if, I just probably, humanly speaking, was not pretty smart. I just resigned one day, and I said to my church, I'm done. And they said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going out into evangelism. And so I went out into evangelism. And remember, I did not go to Singapore as a missionary. I went as a pastor. I went to an industrialized nation, and the church paid my salary. So I didn't do deputation. I didn't go out as a missionary. And so I just stepped out on faith to be an evangelist in Southeast Asia. In fact, I had no idea what that meant. No one had blazed a trail. You know, we didn't have a trailer to pull around like evangelists do here in the United States. I just decided that the Lord wanted me to reach Asia, so I just took a step of faith, and that was in 1998, and we have been doing it ever since. And the Lord has met our needs. I still have never done deputation, never been out there, you know, shaking the bushes like missionaries do. The Lord has just led me down a different path, but that's okay, right? Yeah, because God is a God who, God has more than one road in order to get things done. And so when we stepped out in evangelism in 1998, I just started, you know, I had a few contacts, and pretty soon I found myself doing gospel meetings all over Southeast Asia. And with the next 10 years, we were just preaching to tens of thousands of people. And God moved in a great way. I mean, I have preached the gospel in nearly every city in Myanmar. And in those days, back in the 1990s, it was a very, very dark place to go. In fact, we were seeing so many people come to the Lord at one point. We were in the midst of an unbelievable moving of God. 10,000 people a night were showing up to these meetings, and it attracted the attention of the military, and they came, and they told us we had to leave, but our Burmese friends said no, stay. So we wound up holding back the government for 4 days. Finally, they said, you need to leave. And so we run a 14-hour car chase running from the authorities. Finally, we got out of the country. A month later, I came back, and we got arrested. And so we've been kicked out of Myanmar for 10 years. In fact, we just got back in because there's been a change in policy there. So I'll be going back for the first time in February this year. Whether I get arrested at immigration or not, I do not know. But I am told that it has been lifted because we were branded as, we were blacklisted as a threat to national security. You know, and so we've had that happen all over the place, and we've just seen God move in a great way, and we have had the opportunity to preach the gospel to, and I kid you not when I say this, to well over 6 million people in Southeast Asia in the last 15 or 16 years. And it's exciting. And through our gospel meetings, the Lord has allowed us to establish various ministries that we run today. And one of the ministries I'll show you a little bit later, it's a ministry that we have in the Philippines. And in the Philippines, we've been able to preach to over 6 million high school and university students. In fact, every summer, we preach the gospel to 250,000 people. And this is something I want to tell you about because I want you to get involved with us. It's not something that I do. It's something that I run, and you come along and do it with us. And I'll show you and tell you about that in a moment. Because this is a great opportunity. The Philippines is one of those countries in the world today where you can go into public schools and you can preach the gospel in the classrooms. Think about that. Okay, I'm going to tell you in a moment, we are walking into universities because we have government permission, and we walk into a classroom and the teacher sits down, we stand up, and we preach the gospel for 20 minutes to classrooms. And within 6 weeks, we preach the gospel to 250,000 people. You can do that too. You get tired of not being able to share the gospel? Do you get tired of sharing the gospel, beginning to share the gospel with somebody and they stop you halfway through? Do you want to share the gospel? Then join us this summer in July in the Philippines, and you'll preach the gospel 10 times a day. If you're there for 2 weeks, you'll preach the gospel. Listen to this. You will preach the gospel to more lost people in your 2 weeks than the average pastor will in his church in his lifetime. We're going to talk about that in a few moments, all right? But before we do, I want to talk to you about another ministry, another opportunity. As we were traveling around Southeast Asia, my wife and I always had a burden for the Islamic world. When I was here last month in the missions conference, I think I preached a message on Islam. I am not sure. I make notes, but I don't have my notes with me. So anyway, and I mentioned in that message that the greatest revival ever to hit the Islamic world is happening today, right now. There are more Muslims being saved right now than in the history of the world, right now. We are living in incredible days. Now, I know we don't get that over here because all we read is what the news wants us to hear. But the fact of the matter is, although Islam is growing at a tremendous rate in the Western world, all right, United States, Europe, and so on, Christianity is growing at a tremendous rate in the Islamic world. God is reaching the Islamic world. And my wife and I, we have been burdened for years to reach the Islamist world in Southeast Asia. And there are two countries, you know, next to Singapore. One would be Malaysia, and the other would be Indonesia. And we prayed, didn't know what God wanted us to do, but the Lord just opened for us a wonderful door one day in Indonesia. We had been praying for years. And we had a man in our church who was saved out of Islam, and he likewise had a burden for Indonesia. And so we sent him down to Indonesia, and he said, what am I going to do? I said, I don't know. You just go down there and sit in coffee shops, meet people, and we'll just see what God does. By the way, that's how we do ministry. we just wait for the Lord to lead us. I mean, we throw ourselves in the way, and the Lord will lead us. So we just went down there, and so he got involved in his local church, and sure enough, a man came to him and began talking and introduced himself. He says, I'm so-and-so, and he said, I've always had a burden to bring foreigners and place them on our university campuses so we can give our kids an opportunity to hear the gospel. He said, because that's how I got saved. He said, I had a person from the United States come, and they were teaching conversational English on our campus, and I got saved. Now, this guy is about our age, and he not only got saved out of Islam, but he went overseas and got educated, came back with a PhD, brought nuclear power back to the country of Indonesia. And so this man is extremely connected, and so this man became our partner. All of a sudden, we said, hey, we want to do this. We want to help you. And so he called us one day and said, come, I want you to meet the vice sultan of the island of Java. He's the vice king. Before we knew it, we're sitting in the palace of the king, and the king says to us, you want to bring English teachers to Indonesia and to help our people? And we said, yes. He says, all right, you need to have 7 teachers down here in 30 days or the deal's off. Now, think about this. We had not thought about starting a ministry like this. We had never thought about bringing English teachers down. I mean, we just thought, hey, this is a great opportunity. Let's go see what's going to happen. All of a sudden, he put us under the gun. But Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. So you know what we did? Yes, we prayed. And we began to pray. And, we have spent our entire ministry in Singapore. I have never pastored an American church. I wasn't a missionary, so I'd never traveled the country. I had no idea what to do. And so all we had to do was pray. In fact, my wife got H1N1, which she got sick, and my wife was bedridden. I had to go to Australia to do some gospel meetings, and so we just sent out a few letters and just said, Lord, you have to make this happen. And sure enough, within 30 days, we had someone from India, we had someone from Singapore, we had a couple people from the Philippines, we had a couple people from the United States, we had a couple people from Europe, and all of a sudden, we had our 7 people. In fact, God gave us 8 people, and we started a ministry. Here we are now 7 years later. The Lord's given us now a staff of about 20, and we're today in Indonesia. We're on about 7 university campuses in 4 different provinces, and within that 7 years, we have seen over 300 come to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and 150 of those have been saved out of Islam. And God is still reaching this world. And I share that with you just to let you know that, God is still upon his throne, and God still desires to reach your world just as he wants to reach that world. All right? And so if we put ourselves in the way and we ask the God of heaven to guide us, God's in the business of guiding us to people who need to be reached, to people who need to be saved. So we can trust the Lord's leadership. The Spirit, I believe, is the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the harvest. Jesus said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. I believe the Lord of the harvest is the Spirit of God. Why? Because he is the instrument of evangelism. In Acts 13, the Spirit said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work in which I have called them. The Spirit of God is the one who sends. The Spirit calls. So we can ask the Spirit of God to guide us to somebody who needs to be saved and somebody who needs to be reached. We can trust that very same Spirit to give us the words to say when we need to say them. We can trust that Spirit to open eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to receive the truth of the gospel. We can trust the Spirit of the living God. We can trust him. And that's how we do our ministries. We just cast our dependence upon God and say, Lord, you got to guide us. You need to direct us. And you know what? God is still in the business of guiding and directing. He's still in the business of reaching people. And God's reaching people. In the largest Islamic country in the world, in Indonesia, God is reaching people. Now, I mention this to you not only to challenge you, but we do have opportunities in Indonesia. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. And we do need laborers. I will not beat around the bush. We need you to come and to work with us in Indonesia. Of course, not all of you, but maybe there is somebody that maybe the Lord has been speaking to you. And maybe the Lord wants you to serve him in Indonesia. Maybe some of you just want to do, maybe a missions trip. We do have a wonderful missions trip in Indonesia. In the month of July, we do what's called an English immersion camp. And we bring people in from all over the world, and we go to several different universities in Indonesia, and we bring in hundreds of Indonesians, who are Muslim, who are Islamic, and we just sit with them and we talk with them. They want to learn English, so we sit there and talk English with them, and we have a program that leads everybody that we talk to the gospel. And we see scores of people saved during that English immersion camp, and those who are not saved, the seed is sown in their heart that later on, our team, when they follow them up, we're able to see them come to the Lord. In fact, almost every single person we have seen saved in our ministry in Indonesia have been touched first through our English immersion camp. And so you can come and be with us during our English immersion camp. In July, you can come for a week, you can come for 2 weeks, you can come for 3 weeks. But it's a wonderful, wonderful ministry. And it's a great way for you to taste missions. By the way, our mission trips, we come and we're all about the gospel. You're not going to come and there's no sightseeing, there's no touring, we're not going to build buildings, we're not going to pass out food. We're going to build relationships so we can present the gospel, because that's man's greatest need. So here's what I want to do, all right? I want to just take a few moments of your time tonight, and can I just show you a quick video tonight about our work in Indonesia? I think it'll challenge you. And just want to remind you that Reed and Heather Olson, who are missionaries that you support, work with us. So we're on the same team. And last time they were here, this video wasn't available. And so I thought maybe it would be a good opportunity tonight to show you that video, because they're part of this ministry. We work together, all right? So this is not something independent of you, all right? This is likewise part of your ministry, because you support them as missionaries. So let's show that video, okay, the IE video. And it's about 40 minutes long. I'm just kidding you. It's about 10 or 12 minutes, something like that. All right, and then I'm going to come back up after that, and we'll go to the Philippines for a moment, and I'm going to give you another challenge, and I want to share with you another unbelievable gospel opportunity. So here's our work in Indonesia. Indonesia is an incredible place. It is a land that is incredibly diversified, thousands of islands, millions of people. When you say Indonesian, you're talking about hundreds of different people groups. The cultures are distinct, the cultures are ancient, and yet the cultures are new.
The first thing that surprised me about Indonesia is how friendly the people are. They'll want to have conversation with you. They'll use every English word they know. And it's really a friendly city.
It's difficult to give one description of the people, but what I can say is people have been very accepting and interested to know foreigners. And they like to share. You'll never get bored in Indonesia. There's always something new to learn about the people. They're very proud of their culture.
It's an economy that is growing. It's a country that's wanting to educate its people so their people can get out and have a better life than their parents had. It's an exciting country. It's an exciting time to be in Indonesia. Religion never satisfies. And, you know, sometimes we look at this person who may be in their religious garb, wearing a tudong or whatever it may be, Islamic by religion, and sometimes we say, well, you know, they would not be interested in the gospel. Well, what we fail to realize is that Christianity is true, and life apart from God is empty.
They think Buddhism is correct, or Hinduism, or Islam, but they're seeking God, and they're serious about it.
People have perceived needs. They think they need education to be happy. They think they need health care. Maybe they need electricity. If we can meet their perceived needs first, then we can direct them to the true need that they have, and that is to know Christ as their Savior.
There are so many possibilities for the gospel here, and that's something that has, I guess, surprised me a little, especially, I would say, with young people. In universities, colleges, these people are the future of Indonesia.
I think the fact that they really want to learn English is an open door for us, because we're giving them something that they want. And in return, we're getting to know them on a personal basis and share the truth with them.
You know, my thinking is always like this. How in the world are people going to know Christ if they never meet a Christian? And so we must put people here. We must put boots on the ground, so to speak. We need people who know the Lord, who have a passion to reach people. We need them to come and be part of reaching Indonesia with the gospel. And the best place to reach in Indonesia are the university campuses. They're wide open. We can get people here legally with the government. They can build relationships with young people. Our team, they're evangelists, they're disciple makers. And they evangelize through the avenue of English teaching.
The team here in Indonesia has joined the International Center for English Excellence, which is the company. The company has been branded and created and designed to be attractive to governments, to the Indonesian school system, to private universities, public universities, and we are careful to create a team of excellent English teachers. Language is not just learning the language, it's a culture-to-culture relationship, and that's perfect for the opportunity to be able to share the gospel.
So we spend time with students, just hanging out with them, going to drink coffee, going to dinner, inviting them to our house, even just talking to them after class. We're constantly building relationships.
Especially English corners, they are comfortable with you, and you talk about a lot of things. So example, you talk about culture and they will tell you, oh miss, there's actually this part of town that I want you to see. And then readily it's like, okay, when are we going? And then of course we go out.
Most of the students are really open and ready to think about life questions and really friendly and very happy to practice their English or meet a foreigner to welcome us into their homes.
They really see the warmth and love in my teammates and me. They really respond to that. I've had students call me mom because their mom's not here. Their mom's miles away in their hometown. We spend every moment we can building those relationships, whether it's face-to-face or whether it's messaging them. And then when the right time comes and when you feel the Holy Spirit telling you, you need to speak now, that's when we share the gospel.
We do rely a lot on the Lord's leading because we know that this is really His work and He is the one that will open doors. We just share life, become like friends outside of class whilst keeping the professional relationship in class. We can share about what's in our hearts, share about our life, how we deal with problems. And of course, we can always focus on Christ when we do that.
We've had really great opportunities to help disciple the Christians. First of all, make sure they actually understand the faith, and then just helping to inspire them to reach out to others. It's really exciting. For the Muslims, it's a long process. My goal is to help them see Christ through my lifestyle. Once they come to that point where they're ready to start talking about the gospel, that's when we'll come in and share. We've already seen quite a few people make that decision, and it's really exciting.
You know, I think the most amazing thing about our teachers is that they love the Lord Jesus more than they love anything else. They have come here, and it's not easy, but it's wonderful. And they have a passion for the students, they have a passion for the lost. They have a desire to enlarge one another so that they could be more effective in the work, and that's very obvious. One of the greatest things about this team is that it's an international team. You know, English isn't just American. Over the past few years, we've had people from 9 different nations, from India, the Philippines, Scotland, Ireland, Malaysia, the US, Singapore. It's just been amazing.
I just really realized after working some time with a team that it's very important when you're sick, somebody's taking care of you, and especially the spiritual aspect. You have the same heart, you encourage each other. When the enemy would whisper something in your ear, a friend would come along and would say that's not true. And that's the most powerful thing.
I wouldn't have made it here without the team. If you have a prayer request or you're going through something difficult, They're the ones that are there for you. And I think our worship together is really encouraging too, because you need that feeding. You need to be pouring something into yourself. And so having a group of believers that can come together and strengthen each other is vital in this work.
When you're on the front line, the enemy is after you every day. And you need the encouragement of your brothers and sisters. You need the time together, praying, studying together, worshiping together. There's probably not a week goes by that there isn't some struggle. And so the team aspect is extremely central to our work here and the success of it.
God is not looking for the best and the brightest. God's not looking for great people, so to speak. God's not even looking for people who have great faith. God's looking for people who have faith in Him, a great God.
We're just clay pots, and there's cracks in me, there's cracks in my teammates, and we're not perfect. But God is the one that's molding us, and He's the one that's changing us. He's using us, and He's the one that's ultimately in charge of this work. It's not our work, it's His.
It's very obvious that providentially God had a plan in all of this. He was designing this well before we started.
And it has been exciting in our years here in Southeast Asia, whether it be our ministry in the Philippines or here in Indonesia or other places. God has always showed Himself mighty, opening doors in areas that, humanly speaking, should be closed, giving us the hearts of people who, humanly speaking, should stand against us. And yet God melts those hearts. God's opened those doors.
The work here is just exciting. There's so many opportunities everywhere. The door's open already. We're ready to go. And we're excited about what God's doing here.
Every single person needs the gospel. It's relevant for every single person. It doesn't matter the background. You can be Buddhist, Hindu, Catholic, or Islamic. Every single person needs the gospel, and I've seen it at work in Indonesia.
You know, Jesus said in Matthew 9, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Jesus did not say that the fields are hard. They may be, but that was not the problem. He didn't say that, you know, we're not reaching a world because, you know, the world's too worldly or the sinner's too sinful. You know, that's not the problem. The problem is not a lack of money. It's not a lack of resources. The problem is, and always has been, a lack of laborers. You know, if this country's going to be reached, we need people. But we need people that are humble and people that are teachable, people who are willing to trust the Lord. And the amazing thing about faith is whenever we take that step of faith, God always meets us at that step. And if young people will trust God, God will make Himself known. God will always do far above and beyond what we could possibly at any time ever imagine. So just trust Him. And that's the kind of young people we need. That's the kind of people we need.
God is at work here. I mean, He is. That's what I just want people to know. I would just want them to know that it might seem like it's impossible, or it might seem like it's difficult to reach Muslims, but Muslims are coming to know the Lord. God is at work in Indonesia, and you can be a part of it. Just come.
All right, well, you heard her. Just come. And if you're interested, on the back, the information table, we have a little flyer here about our ministry both in Indonesia and the Philippines. I'll tell you about the Philippines here in just a moment. But on the back, you can contact Reed Olson, all right, and he can give you all the information, whether you want to come for our English immersion camp in July, or maybe you're just interested because maybe you feel that tug and pull at your heart, which is unmistakably the work of the Spirit of God. God's still calling people to missions. God is still calling people to worldwide evangelism. God is still speaking today. Do you believe that, church? He is. I mean, He is the same God, the God that called Paul and Barnabas on that first missionary journey. That God is still speaking to hearts. We have to have an ear to listen. And people always often ask me, what does it mean when God is calling me? You always say, well, God called me. It's just a tug and pull at the heart. You know, it's just that, you know, it's just when all of a sudden the things of life grow strangely dim, when you get dissatisfied in life. You know, I told you earlier that I worked for about 10 years in the hotel and restaurant business. I am by training a professional chef. And I had unbelievable training, went to the best culinary school in the United States, worked from the best chefs in New York City to San Francisco and in between, and that's all I ever wanted to do since I was 14 years of age. But all of a sudden, it seemed at 26 years of age, at the peak of my career, all of a sudden I woke up one day and I thought, what a stupid business. Pardon me if you're in that business, but that's what it was for me. I mean, imagine that. All of a sudden, I lost an unbelievable interest in that which I had a passion for all my life, you know? And all of a sudden, God just burdened me with the need to take the gospel around the world. That's a call. That's a burden. It's a tug and a pull at the heart. That is unmistakably the work of the Holy Spirit. And if God is speaking to you, I don't know where you are in all of this, but if you're interested, at all interested, or maybe you know somebody who's interested, please grab a flyer in the back. Tells us a little bit about it, and you can contact Reed Olson there in the back. All right, now that's Indonesia. What a great ministry. Please pray for that ministry. Remember, Reed and Heather, we're all part of the same group, doing the same work. We were just in Indonesia about a week ago working with our team. They're doing well and back. In fact, last week God gave us another school, so we just signed an MOU with the government, and we're going to go to this place called Bali. I know Bali is a destination site for honeymooners and so on and so forth, but it is a very, very pagan place, and we praise God for that. Well, here's another opportunity. When we stepped out in evangelism in 1998, the first country I went to was the Philippines. I'd not been to the Philippines. Of course, we had a lot of Filipinos in our church in Singapore. But I was invited to do some gospel meetings on a university campus. And when I arrived, I had no idea what I was getting involved in, but it was just a wonderful moving of God. I wound up working, preaching the gospel in several different university campuses, went for about 7 weeks, preached about 14,000 people, saw thousands of these young people place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that began for us a ministry that I run today called Student Movement of Christ International. It's a campus ministry. Today we have grown through our gospel meetings, and we now have campus works on over 100 university campuses in 35 cities in the Philippines on 9 different islands. Right now we have a staff of about 50 that work on those university campuses, and it's an exciting ministry. We see tens of thousands of young people who hear the gospel, and we see thousands of these place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This campus ministry has also given birth to 7 churches today called Grow Point Churches. All of our pastors were saved through our campus ministry, discipled and trained by us, so it's a total ministry that's reproduced itself. Did you see that lady Julieta up there on there from the Philippines? She was saved through our campus ministry in the Philippines. We were doing an e-campaign, preaching the gospel, and she got saved. Now she's serving God with us in Indonesia. In fact, we have 5 from the Philippines on our team in Indonesia. All 5 of them were saved in our campus ministry in the Philippines. In fact, I'll say this, they were not just saved through our campus ministry, they were saved through our e-campaigns where people just like you come and preach in the university campuses. Did you hear that? That's pretty cool. We did not win them to the Lord. You guys won them to the Lord. We just facilitated that opportunity. So it's a great ministry. In fact, in the last 15 years, we've had the privilege of taking the gospel and preaching the gospel to 6 million high school and university students in the Philippines. Every year, now listen to this, okay, just wrap your head around this. This year, we preached the gospel in 441 high schools and university campuses in the Philippines, 441 schools. We preached the gospel to every single student in 441 schools in the Philippines. In 6 different islands, we preached to 271,000 people and saw over 100,000 of those make public professions of faith in Christ. And we do that every single year, and we've been doing it for the last 15 years, and thus we preach the gospel to over 6 million people. Sometimes we really ramp it up, and at times we preach to 500,000 people, but we've kind of toned it down a little bit because it's difficult for me, because I'm with it all the time, and I'm getting a little older. I know I still look 29. But my body says I'm not. And so, but we still preach to about 250,000 people every year. And what's exciting about this ministry is that we do it in the month of July, and we bring people from all over the world, and we build teams. And what we do in the Philippines, our team, we organize it. So we'll go and make all these contacts in these high schools, these universities, and then we throw the opportunity out to churches around the world, and we get about 100 people every July join us, you know, maybe 25, 30, 40, 50 a week. And we break up in teams, it's highly organized, and we go out into the university campuses and we preach the gospel. Everybody preaches the gospel. Everybody preaches the gospel. And what we do is we go into universities, we go into high schools, and we have permission because we're a registered organization, and we get permission from the superintendents of schools, and our team makes contact in advance, so we just walk in the school, and the principal had already informed all the teachers, and so our team breaks up, and we walk into a classroom, the teacher sits down, and we stand up, and we preach the gospel for 20 minutes to the student body. We give invitations, raise their hand, pray a prayer of faith, we give them a decision card, they fill it out with their contact number, we give it to our campus worker who, Lord willing, will follow them up throughout the year. Many of our converts come through this kind of gospel meeting, through this evangelistic campaign. Everybody preaches, which means we can preach up to 10 times every single day. You could preach 50 times a week, and within a week or 2 weeks, as I've already mentioned, you'll preach to more unsaved people in those 2 weeks than the average pastor will in his church in his lifetime. You can say it. That's pretty cool. Okay. There's nowhere else really in the world that can happen. We just started an e-campaign in Africa, in Kenya, and we're working on it. But it's not as easy as it is in the Philippines. Right now, the Philippines, it's just the door's been open for the last 15 years. I don't know how long those doors will stay open. And so I just throw that out to you. This is an unbelievable missions trip. I mean, if you're a youth pastor here today, this is something you should bring your young people to. All right, if you're a young adult, you should do it. If you're interested in ministry, if you just want to preach the gospel, come and join us. We have pastors that join us every single year, you know, and we have churches that come every year and they bring their young people, and lives are changed. Lives are changed. Unbelievable. I can tell you story after story of Americans who have come there and their life has been turned upside down because it's unreal. Because I'm sitting here, I'm telling you, hey, you can come and preach to 50,000 people in 2 weeks, and you look at me and thinking, yeah, right. I can say to you, you know, hey, listen, you can come, and, you know, you could preach to 30 people in 1 hour, and next hour you could be preaching to 9,000 people in one sitting. And you look at me and thinking, yeah, right. But when you come there and you realize, wow, this really happens, it changes you. It pushes you. You take steps of faith. It's unnerving to people, but once you get into it, you realize, wow, you know, God is on his throne, and God can enable me, and God can use me. So this is a great opportunity, by the way, and I just want to throw it out to you because I just think it's an unbelievable chance for you to be able to preach the gospel. We preach so much. We get up, we're on the road by 5 o'clock in the morning, and we're done by 5 in the afternoon, and we preached all day long, and that's all we do. All right, so you're not going on a holiday. We don't go to the beach. We don't go climb mountains. We do nothing but preach the gospel. So we get up and we eat breakfast, and we hit the road, and we're preaching school after school after school after school after school, and everybody's preaching, okay? And the moment we're done, we're back in the vans, and we're going to another school, and we do that every single day, Monday through Friday. And then on Saturdays, we get to preach to the military. So we go in, we preach to the Army, to the Navy, and it's pretty cool. You'll see some of the pictures up there. You know, they just kind of stand at attention, you know, 2,000-3,000 of them, and we're preaching the gospel. It's pretty cool, especially if you're a 19-year-old lady preaching the gospel to a bunch of military cadets. It's pretty cool. You say, does that happen? Yeah, that happens, because sometimes all the guys are used up somewhere else, and so the only one able to preach to these men are the ladies, and so she's just preaching the gospel. By the way, she's not pastoring them, right? She's what? She's fulfilling the Great Commission. It just happens to be a big crowd, okay? So don't get all freaky about that, okay? So anyway, that's a great opportunity. If you're interested, again, there's information on the flyer, and you can contact Reed, and he can give you further information. He'll put you in contact with our administrator in the Philippines, and we have an advance package for you. It tells you everything that you need. The only thing that you need to do is you need to get an air ticket from here to the Philippines. You give us about $150 a week, and that's all you need to do. The rest of it, we take care of everything else. You don't have to worry about food. We book all your accommodations. We provide unbelievable great food, and I give you a nice place to sleep every night, air-conditioned with hot water. And because I believe this, if you have good transportation, you can sleep well in an air-conditioned room because it's hotter than fire, and you have hot water, and you eat well, you can preach all day long, and you're as happy as can be, all right? So all you have to do is raise the money to go there, and we even help you work out all the internal flights for you because we've been doing this for years. So all you need to do is raise about $150 a week. And all you have to do is, when you get off the plane, you hand us the money, and the rest of the time, all you do is preach. And by the way, all you have to do is preach one gospel message, because it's a different crowd every single time. Every single time. I'll tell you one story. I think I'm out of time. It's only a three-minute video. I was doing a gospel meeting once, and I was doing this room-to-room. So I was in a university campus, and these were the early days before I got smart and invited people to come. I did it all myself. So I was on this university campus, about 17,000 people, and I was going room to room. And I was preaching 20 minutes, 20 minutes, 20 minutes, 20 minutes. And the school made this young man go with me. And so he took me from room to room. He was an unsaved man, leader of one of their fellowships there or something. And so this young man was with me, and he heard me preach the gospel that day five times. And then in the evening, I invited everybody to a larger gospel meeting in the stadium of the campus. And so at night, then I preached the gospel again, and I gave an invitation, and this man who heard me preach the gospel five times, this time on the sixth time, walked the aisle, and he got saved. Today, he is my national director, and he leads this entire ministry. Isn't that exciting? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He heard the same message in one day six times. I said, "What took you so long?" He says, "You know, I was raised a Roman Catholic. It took me six times to get what you are actually saying." He says, "When I got it," he says, "I got saved." And today he is our national director. Hey, let me show you a very quick PowerPoint. Now, this PowerPoint is a little old. It's just kind of a highlight of our 2012. But we do the same thing every single year. So to give you kind of an idea of what we do. But this is what we do. And we see people saved. Unbelievable. Let me just say this before we show it. I got a little time. It's only 3 minutes. I got 5 minutes left. I could tell you story after story. We have preached the gospel so much in the Philippines. I tell you, we've preached the gospel to 6 million people every year over 400 schools. There is nowhere in the Philippines, everywhere I go in the Philippines, everywhere I go, people know me. I'm in airports in different countries, and Filipinos know me. I remember once I was in Singapore, and I walked into a hotel, and this lady came running at me. She was a concierge, and she said to me, she says, "Oh, Pastor Reddick, and I'm like, you know, what's going on? And she said, she introduced herself, and I said, "How do I know you?" She said, "Well, I heard you preach on my campus in the Philippines a few years ago. I was on a bus in the Philippines out in the middle of nowhere, and I had to use the toilet." Pardon me, but fact of life, right? So the bus stopped. I got off, and I ran into the mall. And as I was walking down towards the toilet, I noticed behind me there was this lady chasing me. And I'm like, you know, what's going on? I'm kind of running to the toilet. Go to the bathroom, and I come out, and she's standing there like this waiting for me. And sure enough, she introduces herself, and she said, I heard you preach on my campus. I was in an airport one day, and I was waiting for somebody at the airport, and there was this guard, and this guard walks over to me, and I'm watching. He's kind of walking closer to me, and he stops me, and he says, "Mike Reddick, how are you?" And I said, "I'm fine." I said, "How do I know you?" I got saved on a university campus where you were preaching one day. Okay, I was in a fast food restaurant. And as I walked in, there was another guard at a fast food restaurant. And he said, "Oh, hey, I've seen you. You know, I know who you are. You were preaching on my campus." And I can tell you 1,000 stories just like this. Because through our campus ministry, we have taken the gospel all around the world. And you know what's amazing to me? Are all around the Philippines. And what's amazing to me is this. Is that a lot of times we go back to the same schools and we go back to the same campuses because faith does come by hearing. It doesn't bother me to go back to the same campus. And sometimes we go back and we meet young people who come up to us and said, "Hey, we heard so-and-so," and they name some American's name who preached in my school last year, and last year I got saved, and they show me the gospel tract that they received. And what's exciting, if you were to come to our ministry and meet our staff, many of our staff have been saved through our e-campaigns because people just like you gave of their time and came to the Philippines and preached the gospel. So I want you to know something. God is using it, and God can use you just as he used some of these people that we're going to show on the PowerPoint. So let's go ahead and let it roll, and then we'll be done tonight. Here we are on the first day of our third week of our gospel campaign. We are on the Norsu campus here in Northern Negros. We had the opportunity to share the gospel with the student body. I want to introduce you to some of our team members right behind me. Everybody say hello.
Thank you. seeking our own way. We've left the shepherd's care again.
Through the wilderness we wander, in the hopelessness of sin. We must run into his arms from where we've been.
Let us return to the Lord. Let our hearts yearn for the Lord. Only His love will save us. For though our lives are broken, He will mend and restore our hope again. Let us return to the Lord. Let us return to the Lord. By His grace alone we have been saved, rescued from grave, and through His blood we have new life. May the passion of our first love bring us to our knees. We can know the heart of God if we believe. So come, let us return to the Lord. Let our hearts yearn for the Lord. Only His love will save us. For though our lives are broken, He will mend and restore our hope again. Let us return to the Lord. Let us
return in the e-campaign, you can see the information here on this sheet. I would encourage you guys, if you want an unbelievable experience, join us this year. The e-campaign runs through the month of July and the first week of August, so we're doing 5 weeks, five different islands, and you will preach your heart out. And the good thing is this, is one day you may never see the fruit of your labor on this side of eternity, but you will see it. One day you will see the fruit of your labor for the glory of God. Pastor, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you, church, for just let me share a little bit about what God's doing, and I would love to see some of you involved. And so again, if you are interested, there is a flyer back on the back table back there. Please take one. God bless you tonight.
Well, you can't see that and not want to do something about it and move. So we have our pastor's meeting this week, so Mike, let us talk through how we can love to put something together for our church this July. I know our teens will be doing a missions trip in New York City, but there could be other opportunities for us as a church family with what Mike's been talking about here. And so we're going to, we need to act on this. We need to move. I mean, Luke 15 talks about what takes place in heaven when one soul comes to Jesus Christ. Heaven breaks forth in praise. And you know, this is the gospel means what? What's the gospel mean? Good news. It's wonderful good news that Jesus Christ has died for the sins of the world. I mean, when you meet people and man, they have never heard that, and they make that decision to trust Christ, how exciting. Well, we want to be involved in wherever God's at work, and so we're thankful that you came and you shared this with us, Mike. I know my heart's been moved and touched, and I don't know who God will bring into your life this week. You know, met with the funeral home that they do a lot of military funerals, and it was a young man that was working with us there on the day after Thanksgiving. Or actually, it was the day before Thanksgiving. We knew my dad was ready. And I said, Austin, if you wouldn't mind, I said, you're confronted with death every day, aren't you? He goes, I am. I'm around people who have loved ones who die every day. I said, you have any concern for your own soul as far as what will happen to you after you die? And he goes, I studied theology, man. So I'm okay. And I could tell it got a little tense. And I said, well, Austin, man, I would love to talk to you more if you would be willing to talk. And we did a little bit more paperwork, and I was signing some things, signing my name to some papers. And I said, Austin, could I just ask you one more question about this? He said, sure. I said, Austin, if you were face to face with God, and God said, Austin, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? He goes, wow. He said, I would, well, I would say he ought to let me in. I'd be upset if he didn't let me in because he made the Bible cryptic. He made the Bible confusing. I said, wow, Austin, I've never ever heard anyone ever put it that way. I said, what I think is interesting, though, is there was a study with some Muslims that were asked just to read the Bible through and tell us in a couple of sentences what it said. I said, you know what they said, Austin? They said the Bible says Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That's how clear the Bible is. I said, man has made the Bible, let's say, what you call cryptic, confusing, and it's never satisfying. I love how you say that. Religion is never satisfying. And so my brother looked at this fella because it was getting a little, he thought it maybe was getting a little tense. And my brother said, well, he's a pastor. He needs to do this kind of thing. And I go, no. I said, Brother Kip, no. I said, Austin, I'm not doing this because I'm a pastor or a preacher. I'm doing this because I really believe the Bible. And the Bible says when a person dies, they either go to heaven or they go to hell. Now, let me ask you, Austin, if I really believe that, which I do, should I be out talking to people about this? He looked at me and goes, absolutely. I go, that's why we're talking right now. I'll tell you, let's look forward to who God would have us talk to this week. That you pray and you ask the Spirit of God to lead you to someone that you can share the gospel with. Life-touching life. How powerful that God wants to use us with this message. And I can tell you, my heart is full with what we can do as a church family and be at work where God's at work. So, Mike, thank you. Man, it's exciting to hear what God's doing. Tonight there is no Acts. I guess that's going to be rescheduled tomorrow. And this week, I think there are three times there are Christmas teas at our house. Tomorrow it starts at 1 o'clock and goes till 3 o'clock. I think the next day is Thursday. Do I have a time on that? Somebody help the poor boy here. I know it's at my house, but I'm not sure. Seven? All right. P.M., all right, P.M., and then is there one Friday too? Saturday. Thank you, ladies. Keep me straight. My wife's in the nursery tonight, so you're bailing me out here. Thank you. Well, let's close in prayer. Thank the Lord for the day. Father, we love you. Thank you for a full day of fellowship and study. And Father, help us to just look at who you might have us talk to this week. Maybe even it's an invitation to come next Sunday and hear a Christmas musical about Jesus Christ and why he came. A lot of people have heard about him, but they don't know why he came. And we have a great privilege this Christmas season to give them the real meaning of Christmas. And so, Father, we thank you for Mike and Lisa and Reed and Heather, and just ask that you would just use them, direct them. Thank you for the open doors there in Indonesia and the Philippines. And as a church, may we be involved in that ministry of sharing the gospel to so many folks where the doors are open for us just to go in and preach the good news. So we look forward to how you're going to work here in our midst. Father, we want your spirit to be at work here in each of our lives. Help us to be effective communicators of that good news this week. Help us to be alert to the people you bring into our lives. So, Father, we love you. Thank you for the fellowship that we can have. May it be sweet. May you be glorified through it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. You're dismissed.